when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all of you precious Blood River Radio family members out there to listen to us. And also, welcome in for any of you new people, even if whether you like us or dislike us, whatever. Just welcome to the program. We have a great lineup tonight. Matter of fact, I was just talking to our first great guest that I've been rolling all day long. I just got in here to the studio just under the gun. Anyway, I'll tell you what we're going to do in just a minute. But by the way, who are you listening to? You're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and it is April the 27th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2024. There is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. That's all there is. There's nothing else. You don't need any preacher, like I tell Sam Bushman, the dear brother who syndicates our show. He's a devoted Mormon. I tell Sam, hey, you don't need that Mormon brotherhood, dude. All you need is Jesus Christ Almighty. I tell people I'm a recovering Baptist. Tell them the same thing. You don't need that Baptist church. You don't need none of that garbage. All you need is Jesus Christ Almighty. That's it. And I know a lot of people probably hold that against me. But anyway, that's the way it is. And, you know, people, we identify as Christians. A lot of people probably think we're not. But we are, and we always start off this program right off the bat with a prayer before we do anything. So if you will, just bow your head just for a minute, people. Almighty Father God, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of Enoch, the Father of John the Baptist, the God of Jesus Christ and all the apostles, the God of Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio, the God of all the people listening to this show, we come to you, Lord, to give you praise, to give you glory. We came to you to ask you to please overlook our sins that we've committed this week. If you will, Lord, please stay with us. We know that you have been with us. Stay with us and give us the wisdom and give us the courage to know what to do to serve you, O Lord. Never ever let us shirk our duty. Never let us hesitate to ride to the sound of the gunfire. Lord, I ask you to continue to bless us here. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, people, the second thing we do, roll my sleeves up, we always announce the donors. This past week, we had a donor. Hadn't heard from him in a while. His name is Micah from the war zone of Maryland. I hear Maryland is almost as bad as Memphis. Memphis being probably at any given month the murder capital of the United States. But anyway, Micah, keep yourself safe up there in Maryland, and thank you so much for your card. He sent me a nice card. He really did. I really appreciate it. I was looking over here for it. I don't see it right now. But anyway, thank you so much for the card, Micah. And I'd like to also send a special shout out to Biscuit, who just returned from the Texas border to his home state. Of course, we can't identify him, but he was down there riding shotgun with some other law enforcement personnel, with the National Guard units from different parts of the nation. And we'll have to do a broadcast really soon, at least an hour, on the information that he told me he saw up close and personal from the Texas border. People, a quick outline. On first hour, we have the one and only, the eminent Dr. Mark McDonald back on. The guy has got these qualifications at the Yang Yang. I meant to get them to read them to you, and I will read them to you. I don't have them on my disposal right now. We'll get to Dr. Mark. I know he may be kind of shy, but we'll get him to tell you. My wife sent me some additional criteria that he's had to go through for his credentials. It's amazing. It really is. I'm really, really grateful he's coming on this show tonight. Elko, second hour. Let's see. We're gonna have a Gebhardt Rudolph, Paul Fromm, Fred Leutcher on, and then third hour we'll be letting Fred Leutcher off. We'll have Gebhardt Rudolph and Paul Fromm on, and we'll be picking up the bell cow Nancy Hip. So that's it for the night, people. So now what we're going to do, we're going to bring in this amazing guest. He really is something else. He's the one, just in case you didn't tune in last week, one of the reasons I was really, really on fire to get him on, he wrote two books. The one I was really hot to get him on for was his verse book he wrote was, if I remember right from memory, is The United States of Fear, How the United States Fell into a Mass Delusional Psychosis. He's also, which would be a logical progression, what he did, his second book just released, was a 12-step program for personal and national, for individual and national relief from fear, cure from fear. I know I kind of butchered that, so what we'll do, we'll bring on Dr. Mark McDonald right now. We'll introduce him and let him tell you all about these books, because I know I butchered the titles. How are you doing this evening, Dr. Mark?
I am doing well. I'm in the belly of the beast, Los Angeles, California. We have the weather and nothing else. So I spend most of my time writing and publishing. And that second book that you did butcher the title, but I'll correct it. It's called Freedom from Fear, a 12-step guide to personal and national recovery. And it's the response to my first book, which was, as you correctly quoted it, United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis, which explained how we all went mad in 2020. Book number two is response to the question, how do we get out of it? And my answer is we get out of it by overcoming our fear addiction. Because fear addiction is what's driving a lot of our inaction, a lot of our weak-willed response to threats, and is really destroying our next generation of Americans who are growing up as cowards, who are falling prey to a combination of narcissism and entitlement, and they are refusing to engage in the world and refusing to go out and slay the beast, to get jobs, to get married, to explore like their parents and their grandparents did. And that's not the way America was founded. It's not the way we became great. It may be the way that we fall and collapse, but I hope not. So I hope that people can overcome this fear. And I hope that my book, Freedom from Fear, will help them on that path.
And while we're at it, how can they best get these two books, Dr. Merrick?
Well, since we last spoke, I launched my website, Dissident MD, which is my brand, dissidentmd.com, where my books are available, as well as my former Substack, which is now simply an online blog. My podcast, which is Informed Dissent, the intersection of medicine and healthcare the intersection of medicine and politics with Dr. Jeff Barkey, who's a family practice physician down here in Orange County, as well as a calendar of events where I'm going. I'm going to speak in Monterey, California to a Monterey Conservative Club this coming week, and I'm also going to be in Palm Springs with about 20 other people at a medical freedom conference. Dr. Robert Malone, Brian Tyson, Simone Gold, Richard Urso, and others will be there. So now all you have to remember is Dissident MD. That's where I put everything. It's my own site. I control it. There's no censorship, no big tech control. I have freedom to say and speak whatever I want. And usually it's a dissenting voice. That's why I call it Dissident MD. And since I am a psychiatrist and I work with kids and adults, a lot of my views have to do with psychology, medicine, and society.
That is amazing. I wish that I had your full bio up. Even next week, even if it takes me next week, I'll give you your full bio. But if you will, Dr. Mack, give them, because I'm really proud of you being out here on this program. Well, when we come back, I would like you to give a full bio, because I mean, you worked hard to get what you've got, and it needs to be out. You deserve people to know it, and I'd like to, and it gives us credibility. Anyway, we got to go back to, or leave for our first commercial break, Dr. Mack. Be right back.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. I'm going to shut up now, and if Dr. Mark McDonald, he will give him his biography, the education processes. He didn't give it all last week. He held back some. But anyways, I want you to give it all out there, Dr. Matt, because it makes us look good having people of your caliber on here. Plus, you deserve the credit. So if you will, go ahead, give us your bio, Doc.
Well, Eddie, I am a psychiatrist. My name is Mark McDonald. I am board certified in adult and child psychiatry, and I have a private practice out here on the West Coast in Los Angeles, California. I was a very quiet physician until about 4 years ago, and then I began speaking up about all of the abuse that was occurring to patients and children and schools and families, because I felt like it was so overwhelmingly destructive and easily corrected that I couldn't just complain in my office to my patients anymore. So I went public and I began writing and speaking, traveling. I was one of the founding members of America's Frontline Doctors in Washington, D.C. in the summer of 2020 with Dr. Simone Gold, where we spoke on the Supreme Court steps on behalf of medical freedom. Ultimately, it became also speaking out on behalf of free speech, because we were censored, as was all of our feeds, our Twitter accounts, our websites. Dr. Donald Trump and his son, Don Jr., retweeted and reposted our feeds, and their Twitter accounts were suspended and taken down within 24 hours. It was a big deal, and that was the beginning of the takeover, really, of free speech in the United States in order to push a medicalized agenda onto Americans in the way of a fake vaccine, an mRNA experimental product that has hurt many millions of Americans and helped no one, as well as a takeover of our industries by Amazon and Google and Facebook and media, and a shutdown of small businesses, attacks on our family. And now, of course, we see the rise of the transgender movement and environmentalism trying to wreak havoc on our nation. So my views on medicine started out as those of a physician, as a psychiatrist, and then eventually they expanded into public speaking, writing. And now I'm talking about issues that are not related necessarily to Pfizer and Moderna and masks, et cetera. I'm talking about big issues that face us, like the takeover of our universities by foreign radicals who are being subsidized by our government to be international exchange students, and they're screaming death to America, death to Israel, and pulling in rich, white, mostly female Democrats who are also students, Americans, into their fold and radicalizing the campuses and wrecking our country. These are big, big problems, and they all really exploded in 2020, and they're only getting worse. So I think we need to pull our heads out of the sand and realize that our country's under attack on multiple levels. And I hope as a psychiatrist, I can explain things to people in a way that makes sense without having to have a medical degree.
You know, Dr. Mark, I'm infamous for going off. I have to talk some talking points, but before I go, this may be kind of a sidetrack. But some of the things you said forces me to ask you this question. Have you ever heard of a Father Malachi Martin?
I have not.
He was a real, real well-known, you might say, in the movement. He used to come on. I first discovered him, this kind of a rabbit trail, but this leads right to what you just said. I first heard him when he was on Art Bell, late night, Art Bell's late night show back in about 1992, 93. I was having a lot of health problems, so I'd stay up late at night and listen. Well, he was... proficient in eight languages. He was, and I know you have a Catholic background, as of my wife does. She has a Catholic background. In fact, she was a cradle Catholic. She said the church left her in 1986, I believe it was. But Father Malachi had all kinds of credentials at the Yang Yang, and he was also an exorcist. But hang on. I've talked to him, and he's told me that, and this question leads directly to some of the things you said. He told me that he had been in many mental hospitals, maybe insane asylums, for lack of a better word. And he said, in his opinion, he was trained in medicine too. I don't think he was a physician, but he had a lot of training there. He said that a large portion of those people, in his opinion, were demon possessed. They were under demonic possession. He rubbed elbows with the popes, et cetera, et cetera. So, and you said that we've been taken over by, you didn't say communist, but I'll say a communist. But you know, we had all your medical sites shut down. We've had this medical tyranny, this medical dictatorship forced down upon us by Pfizer, all the big drug companies, the CDC, the FDA, the National Institute of Health, NIH. So, I mean, if they would want to do that, and what they're doing, Dr. Mack, is obviously harmful to the population. What other reason would they have other than being is it evil, in your opinion? Are they evil? I know you said you hesitate to use that word, that term evil, that concept evil. But are they evil? Are they under some type of influence? Or are they just the way the communists think? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Well, the rational response to that question in one word is this: power. Every collectivist movement in history, that includes communism, that includes Stalinism, that includes totalitarianism, that includes empires from hundreds or thousands of years ago, that became too centralized and too top heavy, they eventually, if not from the first get go, they eventually redefined their purpose and function as being to aggrandize and maintain power. And I think it's clear that every single decision by our politicians, our media, our large corporations, our unions, especially the teachers' unions, in 2020 were made specifically to assist those individuals and those groups with gaining and maintaining their power over the nation. That doesn't unfortunately explain everything, though, because you can't explain that by putting up examples of, say, George Soros. George Soros is, I believe, an evil human being who is using his money in his old age, in his 70s and 80s, to destroy the foundation of the best, and I say best meaning the most successful, the most moral nation that has ever been created in the history of mankind. And he has done this strategically and methodically over the last 10 to 20 years by funneling large amounts of money, hundreds of millions of dollars over the last couple decades, into strategically placed vulnerabilities, such as our attorneys general and our prosecutors in specific parts and counties and cities in the United States, where he can take over the criminal justice system and flip from it being pro-victim, anti-criminal, to pro-criminal and anti-victim. And that is one of the main reasons the takeover of our judicial system through the gatekeepers, which are the prosecutors, of why we have such a surge of crime now in the U.S. and why it's gotten so bad in the last 4 years after having hit an all-time low in the early 90s in most cities. Now, what power does he get from doing that? By increasing rapes and murders and arson and thefts and robberies and gang beatings? Does that give him more power? No, and he's on his last 10 years of his life, so he's clearly not in need of power. He has money, so he doesn't need money. So what's driving a man like that? And I don't have an answer, a rational answer, other than the word evil. So I think that there's two answers to your question. One is power. I think many groups and individuals are striving to aggrandize power. But there's another element that you can't deny, which is there's something sinister in all of this, isn't there? There's something truly evil, evil afoot. And I think it's taking over, not because it's new. We've had evil from the dawn of man, right? I mean, it's in the Bible. True. That's not new. Evil is not new. What is new is that we have a weak moral immune system. We have weakened ourselves by destroying our foundations, our values, our virtues, and our courage, and replaced all of that with weak-kneed fear. And when you have a weak-kneed, fearful society, that's where evil can insert itself and take over. And that's why I think we're seeing evil surge, and why there's been a resurgence of evil in the last few years in the United States.
You know, we, Dr. Mack, we have one of those attorneys that you, generals, the DA, district attorney that you just mentioned, and I've called him 100 times. It's a wonder I'm not in trouble with that dude. But he also was appointed. He was put into position by George Soros. I mean, they can say that he was elected, but that's everybody knows that he was not elected. It's such a farce to even have an election. Anytime George Soros is involved, and I agree with you, I think he's the epitome of evil. Anytime he's involved with a candidate, you can just put your money on that candidate. You know he's going to win. But and one more thing, this may be a little off topic. As a psychiatrist, you know, different people are made up of the, and I'm just kind of guessing or questioning out loud to see if I'm, you know, running my own thoughts by you. Well, there's the Dr. Mack. We have to go to our second break. When we come back, I've got to ask you a question about humans and personalities in psychiatry. Be right back.
Pre- pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jen Gelber. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told NBC's Meet the Press that he doesn't believe presidents should have absolute immunity for actions taken while in office. This comes as the Supreme Court heard arguments related to former President Trump on Thursday. McConnell reiterated his stance, which he made after voting to acquit Trump following the 2021 Capitol riot, suggesting that the former president could be held accountable by the justice system. He emphasized that it would ultimately be up to the Supreme Court to decide. A Florida Republican is no fan of President Biden's proposed tax plan. USA's Tim Berg has the details.
President Joe Biden is proposing an aggressive tax plan that could affect millions across the country after promising not to hurt the middle class financially. Speaking on Fox Business, Florida Republican Congressman Byron Donalds says former President Trump's policies should be restored.
Trump's tax policy has worked out for all of America. The federal government has raised more tax revenue since Trump's tax policy has been in place. And last but not least, why would we listen to the master of disaster, Joe Biden, about raising taxes when his own son avoided paying taxes?
It's now illegal to sell weight loss and muscle building supplements to minors in New York, the first state in the country to enact the law. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration oversees the market for these items, but it doesn't test products before they're sold. State lawmakers in Massachusetts are now considering passing a similar law. New York's law allows the state to fine businesses who sell kids diet pills or supplements that promote themselves as helping build muscle or burn fat. Protein supplements and shakes are exempt unless they contain another weight loss or muscle building ingredient. USA News, I'm Jen Gelber.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, once again, I got the great Dr. Sidetrail thrown off, derailed from what we were supposed to talk about. Well, we will get back to what we were supposed to talk about, but first, I asked the great doctor a question during the break. I've been wondering for a long time, and I want you to believe me, I'm not saying this because I watched The Exorcist years ago, you know, but I do believe in evil. I think you have to, if you believe in good, there's evil. But anyway, I asked Dr. Mark, just kind of paraphrasing, where can you separate the spirituality from hardcore medicine, you know, empirical research? Where does a morality, good spirituality, God, if you will, Jesus, if you will, where do you separate that from the hardcore medicine? And Dr. Mark is going to explain his answer right now much better than I ever could. Go ahead, Dr. Mark.
Well, as I was telling you on break, Eddie, we never needed to ask this question because it was fully integrated up to about 100 years ago. When an individual had a question related to thoughts, feelings, behaviors that required counsel, he would go to his priest. He would go to his spiritual or religious advisor. There was no psychiatrist. There was no therapist. And then about 100 years ago, psychiatry was born, therapy followed. And now, when people have questions that are psychological, emotional, even spiritual, actually, certainly moral in nature, who do they turn to? Their therapist or their psychiatrist. So we have separated out the religion and the spiritual that is contained within religion from the psychological. We've announced that somehow the two can be separated, that you can go and see a secular advisor who will tell you what the right or wrong thing is to do in your life. You can't do that. There is no way for people to learn how to lead a good life in the absence of religion, because there is nothing secular that will show you how to do good. Science can show you what will be efficient, what will be productive, what will be effective, but it won't show you in any way how to do good, because doing good has to come from a source of wisdom. And wisdom is not found in science. It's not found in psychiatry, and it's not found in therapy. Wisdom is almost exclusively found in religion. And the most wisdom-filled book that was ever published, of course, was the Bible. So if you remove the Bible and religion from a form of counsel, then what do you have left? You have scientific counseling. You have efficacy counseling. You certainly don't have counseling that allows you to learn how to do good. And that's, I think, where we really failed in the last 100 years. The fact that you're even asking the question shows that there's a lot of confusion right now among Americans. And you're not a young guy, so can you imagine how confusing it is to teenagers and people in their 20s who are looking for counsel? They don't even think of going to the church. You might think about it and not go. Well, they don't even belong to a church. They never did. So what are they going to do? They're going to go to online counseling, counselingforme.com through video. They're not going to learn anything that way. This is a big, big problem. It's a societal failure.
Wow. That's a great, eloquent explanation. I appreciate you laying it out there, Dr. Mack. I really do. You know, now getting back to your book, I know I wanted to go over to briefly discuss the first book you read, but we don't have time to do that. But if people want to know about the first book that Dr. Mark wrote, in fact, he's going to be able to show some more, I'm sure. But we can go. If you go to last week's archives, he discussed some of his very first book, the United States of Fear. If you go back, you can listen to that. But right now, we're going to talk about a little bit about this his second book, that he just talked about, the 12-step guide to personal and national recovery.
Freedom from Fear.
Freedom from Fear. Doc, if any of this you talked about just then about how people at one time used to, say, 100 years ago, 90 years ago, would go see their priest or their preacher for advice, for wisdom, for counseling, or any of those suggestions, is that part of the prescription you give in your second book? And if not, tell us what is in your second book.
My second book, Freedom from Fear, is based upon two large foundations. One is the 12-step program, which most people know of as AA, which is actually, although not religiously based, it's certainly based upon the idea of a higher power, the God. And that is the one piece of it that distinguishes it from all other addiction treatment programs. And I believe that's the reason why it's the most successful. It is hands down the most successful treatment for addiction of any kind ever devised to this day. And it is to some degree religiously based, although it's not Catholic or Christian necessarily, but it is monotheistic, one God. The second piece of the foundation is The 12 Rules for Life, which is a well-known book that Jordan B. Peterson wrote a few years ago, which is also religiously inspired. He's a religious man and uses Christian principles of accountability, of professing guilt and apology, making things right, which is exactly what AA does. So I thought that even though my book is not a religious book per se, it is going to be inspired by religious beliefs and practices and certainly Christian values, which I have used to provide examples in my guide. It's a guide. It's a didactic book. It's a teaching of those 12 steps that one should go through in order to overcome a very specific addiction, which is rampant in our society today, which I call fear addiction.
Yes.
Because Americans are fearful. They are afraid. And this fear, the presence of this fear, is what's driving virtually all of our problems, including the recent takeover of America's universities by Islamic radicals and the weak-kneed trust fund babies from the illiberal East and West Coasts who follow in their footsteps. This would not have happened 20 years ago because there would have been adults in the room, strong-willed, courageous adults who said, you know what, shut your mouth, go home, or you're going to be arrested and thrown in jail. End of story. And they're not doing that. They're not doing that except in very rare cases like in Florida and in Austin, where Governor Abbott, who's in charge of the state of Texas, said, you guys are going to get out of here in 2 hours. You're going to be carted to jail. Well, they just bowed their tails and they went home. But look what's happening in Columbia, Harvard, where the university presidents, the police departments, the mayors and the governors have said, well, you know, we're going to give them some time. We're going to let them see how they feel. And we're going to try to respect their rights. Well, they put up tents and encampments and they started screaming death to America, death to the Jew, and they began attacking people. Cowardice inspires evil. Remember what Reagan said, it's peace through strength. You do not get peace through weakness, never. That is proven throughout history, and we're not getting anything but chaos through our own cowardice. So we need to overcome this fear addiction now, all across America, become stronger, and that's the way that we're going to fight evil.
It's fair. What you said, fear addiction. People can actually get addicted to fear, like they would, say, cigarettes, for
most
instance.
Most definitely. Absolutely. I think it's an addiction. Now, Eddie, originally, in 2020, we were told to be afraid. We were ordered to be afraid. We were told, stop going to church and worshiping God. Bow down to the altar of fear and worship that instead and do it at home. We were all told that, weren't we, in March of 2020. Yes. We were told that month after month after month. That was when fear was injected into us. That was the fuel that drove this car of chaos and psychosis. But now we are addicted to that fear. We have not grown to accept it. We have grown to idolize it. It is our new God. We worship it. In fact, when you say that you're afraid, when you say, I feel unsafe, you're given extra goodies. You're given extra credit, extra money, extra protection. Your enemies are attacked. They're They're arrested. They're thrown in jail. They're deplatformed. They're fired. They're socially ostracized. People have learned, Americans have learned, that fear is something to be proud of. Fear is something to be worshipped, to be idolized. This is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. Fear is never something to be proud of and worshipped. Never, ever, ever. In fact, fear is something that you need to experience and push through. You need to act in spite of your fear, not because of your fear. You need to feel your fear and do the right thing anyway. When you walk down the street and you see somebody reflexively reach into their pocket and put a mask on their face as you walk by, that's a fear addiction. That's like the person who's anxious pulling out a cigarette because that's the only way that he can feel calm. Smoke his tobacco. Well, now people put on masks. They do in Los Angeles. They do in a lot of cities. People are addicted to fear. We have never as a nation had a fear addiction. We have seen fear as shameful, as weak, as a symbol of weakness, cowardice. Not anymore. Now it's our new God.
I've never thought of it as being an addiction, but that's very interesting. We'll pursue that a little bit more if you want to, Dr. Mack, as soon as we come back from this last break. Be right back, folks.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Hey, Dr. Mack, we have a listener has called in, and he wants one question before we go to the conversation you and I just had at a break. He wants to know if your church, if I don't even know if you go to church. I know at one time you did. Like me, you know, I tell people I'm a recovering Baptist. But anyway, he wanted to know if you kept going to church during COVID, and he also wanted to know when you first realized that COVID was kind of like a psyop.
Well, I don't know if this listener has been to Los Angeles recently, but in the city of Los Angeles, all of the churches, with no exceptions, closed for almost 2 years. There was no church. There were a few, not the Presbyterian, evangelical churches outside of Los Angeles, about an hour away from me, that stayed open, like the church in Westlake called Godspeak, which is run by Pastor Rob McCoy. It's also Jack Kibbs' church out here in East Los Angeles, stayed open. They were outside of the L.A. County line. They were probably the only two in the whole 50-mile radius that stayed open. So you could not go to church. Same with synagogues. They all stayed closed. A lot of the Orthodox synagogues shut down. So there was no organized religion. There was no place for people to go for a very, very long time. Now, I knew very early on that this was all manufactured because none of it made any sense rationally. And that good example of that is the strip clubs, the pot shops, and the liquor stores were never closed. Never. And yet the churches were. And I thought, you know, that just doesn't make sense. That makes no sense. Schools were closed. Where would be a safer place for a child to be if not in school? Schools are probably the safest place for kids to ever be, much safer than running out in the streets or sitting in front of a video game machine or an open internet. And yet we were told that children should be at home for 2 years because it's safer. I'm sorry, that doesn't make any sense at all. So those were some things that I noticed that I said to myself, this is just completely irrational. I don't even have to be a doctor and look at data to know this. This doesn't make sense. And then, of course, everything else that followed. You've got to wear a mask. You've got to wipe down your Amazon packages. You've got to use hand sanitizer. Do you know what hand sanitizer does to your hands? It cracks the skin. What is the most common source of infection on your body from germs, from bacteria? It's wounds. It's skin wounds. How do you get skin wounds? By cutting yourself. How do you cut yourself in 1,000 places on your hands, which touch every single thing in your life? Putting on alcohol 18 times a day. That's the best way to get sick. I knew that. So when we were told to do all this nonsense, I said, there's something terribly, terribly wrong with this story. And then I started to ask the question, well, then if this is wrong, if this is actually harmful, what's the motivation? Why is it being done and who's doing it?
Bingo.
And from there, that's how I started to speak and write. And I put all the pieces together and I discovered that really this is simply one more push by a long, long, long stream of historical collectivists and communists takeovers to try to seize power and limit the independence of the individual and the family and make everyone dependent on the state. That's basically what this is all about. It's what it's been about for the last 4 years.
And the state is always just that very, very, very small minority sitting at the very top. As it was like in the Soviet Union, from the 1918, 1920s, probably up to 1960, early 1960s, the religion was totally destroyed. Of course, communism is a godless type government. You might call it a religion. I guess communism could be a religion. But we have a friend by the name of General Nick Glasnovic that comes on our program. He's from Canada. He left Croatia at a very young age. They settled to Canada. They were running from the communists. He joined this brief bio on him. He joined the Canadian Army very, very young age. Later on a dare, he joined the French Foreign Legion. Then he returned to Croatia, and he battled the communists to win Croatian independence. And he told us that in the Soviet Union, that the communists hated God so much. They hated Christianity so much that they would literally, besides just wrecking centuries old, in Russia they have, you know, probably some Catholic, but they have a lot of Orthodox there. He was telling us Orthodox churches. Just tearing the churches down to the ground was not good enough. Dr. Mack, they were actually bury priests and alive. Orthodox priests, they would bury Catholic priests. Catholic nuns, bury them alive, torture them. A complete hatred for God. So I would say, kind of answer my own question, do the communists, and I can't see any other group that's tried to take over our country. It's pretty much, they've got a good hold of it, other than communists, Satanists, Bolsheviks, all pretty much one the same. But in the Soviet Union, not only did they use religion to get rid of religion as something that a safety net of life preserver that we the people could hang on to use as a spiritual advisors, like you talked about in the last segment, in the early days, years and years and years ago, people used to go to their priests for their counselors. Not only that is, did they want it, they had several motives, in my opinion, for getting rid of religion, getting rid of Christianity. They one reason they want to get rid of it, because that would, if they separate, like you said, if it can separate the people from their anchor, destroy their anchor to reality and to goodness and to godliness, and through their access to priests, access to the church. Not only did they use it for that, not only was that the motive to get rid of that, that life is over, so they would be easier controlled. It looks like they actually hated God. So that would be pure evil, Dr. Mack. I mean,
well, they do hate God. Why do you think the Jews have been persecuted throughout history? There's a lot of answers to that question. I think one that's the most compelling to the answer, why the Jews, is that the Jews, more than any people, advocate for a judging God. What is the most feared force by a communist or a collectivist? It's judgment made not by the state. They don't want judgment. They don't want God judging anyone, because if God judged the people, they'd also judge the rulers. They judge the dictators. They don't want to be judged. They want to be the judge. This is why the Jews have been kind of the conscience, really, of societies all over the world, and why they've been attacked, why they've been vilified, because they show up and they say, God will judge you. Not me, not the rabbi, not the Jew. God will judge you. That drives dictators crazy. They hate that. And this is true for basically all monotheistic religions. They incur the wrath of God. That's what they represent. And that's why religion has to be taken away. That's why there is no collectivist movement that I know of anywhere in history that has allowed for the safe and supported and free practice of religion, because it is in conflict with their aim, which is to replace God with the government.
What about now? I know very little about, I know some about the Crusaders. What was that, in the 1300s, 1200s, mm-hmm. 1400s? Now, the Crusaders, they were, well, I guess you, they were pretty much Catholics.
They were sent by the Pope to retake land and belief that had been conquered by the Muslims who had been moving west. Battle was to go back and fight and retake the Catholic or Christian land that had been lost. So it was like a religious military battle. They were not trying to go into Muslim or pagan territories and convert people. They were trying to retake what had already been taken from the church.
I got you. I knew some of the details, but I guess the reason I was trying to say that, what am I trying to say? They weren't trying to establish a dictatorship, a complete tyranny, like the communists have in the past. So they consider themselves, I guess, basically for being pro-God, representing, like you said, representing the Pope, representing the Catholic Church. Matter of fact, my friend, Dr. Nick Glastovic, he rose to be a major general and was a sitting member of the Croatian Parliament. The defense, he was the equivalent to what here in the United States, the defense chief of defense, head of the defense department over there. He said he had a colonel that volunteered with him that came over there. He asked him, why are you coming over here to fight for Croatia? He said, because he wanted to help defend the Holy Roman Empire. And that would be a whole nother show right there. But Dr. Mark, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on. Been a great hit with our people. If you're getting questions in here to ask you, I'll certainly stay in touch with you. You do the same. We'll have to get you back on pretty soon, brother. So thank you so much,
Eddie,
again for coming on.
Dissident MD.
Yes, sir. Dissident MD. God bless you, Doc. See you later, fella.
Thank you.
Dear people, we're Blood Radio. people. We were now transitioning to the second hour. Be right back, folks. Don't give us a call.